The Dennis Devlin Show. You can catch The Dennis Devlin Show on Lake District Radio every Saturday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m.
Join me as we travel through the decades and play you the biggest hits from the 60s,
the 70s, the 80s, the 90s and the noughties. That's The Dennis Devlin Show on Lake District Radio every Saturday from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. The Dennis Devlin Show. We play you
the best mix of music.
Atlas Garage Carlisle, for all major services and car repairs, from brakes to clutches, transmissions to exhausts. You can call Neil today on 07597 895 719. That's Atlas Garage Carlisle, for MOT servicing, tyres and all general car maintenance. Atlas Garage Carlisle, you can call Neil today on 07597 895 719. Atlas Garage Carlisle, on Thomas Street, Carlisle. At Atlas Garage, there's always hope on hand to help. The Dennis Devlin Show. You can catch The Dennis Devlin Show on Lake District Radio every Saturday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m.
Join me as we travel through the decades and play you the biggest hits from the 60s,
the 70s, the 80s, the 90s and the noughties. That's The Dennis Devlin Show on Lake District Radio every Saturday from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. The Dennis Devlin Show. We play you
the best mix of music.
A call, a phone call.
I got a phone call, which is that cuts you off, does it?
It does that. It just cuts you out. Booted you out.
I don't even know who.
It's not to worry. It happens all the time. I'm used to it. I just know straight away it's a phone call. There's nothing you can do, but a phone call comes in, it comes in. And if I'm in the studio doing it, it's the same thing. But it's because it's recorded, it's not so bad. I can just be.
Oh, okay. That's great. Well, if it happens again, then yeah, I'm not going anywhere.
Right. We'll start again. Here we go. Just give me 3 seconds.
Yeah. Can't you edit together the last lot, or are we starting again completely?
I'll just start it again because it'll be a lot easier that way. And then I can make amends for my uselessness at start because there was a little bit thrown there. Okay. Are we ready? Well, good afternoon and welcome to the Dennis Devlin Show on Lake District Radio. Of course, I have recently spoke to the amazing Omar Jalili, who, of course, is performing live at Millham on the 3rd of November, of course, at the Beggars Theatre. And along with him, supporting him, is the amazingly talented Boothby Graffo, who I have got on the line just now. Good afternoon, Boothby, and how are you?
Hey, Dennis, I'm very well, thank you. I'm slightly confused because when I hear introductions like that, I'm not quite sure who you're talking about. And then it's me, and I'm thinking, oh, hello.
A hugely talented guy. I mean, you've worked with some of the best people you could imagine, Nick Pine and, of course, Antonio Foraccione. I think I got it right.
Yeah, double. Yeah, Nick Pin. He wouldn't forgive me if I let you call him Nick Pine. It makes him sound like
a Pin. Yeah, it does, doesn't it? I've got to ask, Boothby Graffo, because obviously that's not your name. I know your name, I believe. Yeah. I believe so. How did you? It's James, isn't it? Your real name is James, isn't it? James Rogers, James Martin Rogers. Is that right?
No. I keep my proper name to myself if I can.
Yeah, that's right. I'll take that out then.
Thanks, man.
No, that's right. So, Boothby Graffo, how do we get to Boothby Graffo? Because it's a great name, isn't it? I said it and I was like, well, good afternoon, Boothby. It's a great name.
It does sound like an old... Well, it isn't it? Lord Boothby was a friend of the craze, wasn't he?
He was, yeah. Was that your inspiration, the craze?
Oh, God, no. I wouldn't be so disrespectful to them. No, it was from a... It's a village. It's a small village in Lincolnshire.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, it's actually it's a small village. It's got no pubs, one post office. It's got two claims to fame. One is the Brinks Matt robber who stole all the diamonds, 7 million quid's worth of diamonds. He had a house there. And it's also the second largest site for the testing of genetically modified food in Europe.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. There was a Guardian headline about 10 years ago. Or maybe even more, 15 years ago. And the headline of The Guardian on the front page, I think it was, it said, "The Trouble with Boothby Graffo." And I thought, I saw the paper, I thought, oh my God, I've made it. But they were talking about the... obviously.
Well, you thought, here we go, Alan, I'll headlined at last, front page of the news, I'm laughing.
yeah, but it was about the village, yeah.
So where do you draw your inspiration for? Because, obviously... Your titles are longer than most of your tracks and a little bit surreal.
Yeah, that's it. You see, I just make stuff up. I like song titles, but I found it's just an interesting way of sneaking a joke in, is if you just tell the joke. This song is called, and then just here's a joke. Because sometimes it's quite... Oh, I've always found it difficult to tell a joke without it sounding like it's going to be a joke. And that's the skill of a lot of comedians that I've seen, very good ones. They can tell you a joke and you don't actually realize you're listening to a joke until the funny bit gets you. And I've always thought that's a special skill which I don't have. I tend to be quite obvious when I tell jokes. So my attempt to disguise the joke is to say this song is called, and then I'll just tell a joke.
Yeah, there's a lot of comedians. I mean, Jasper Carrot, he's famous for getting his guitar and telling his joke through song. And obviously, Billy Connolly does a lot of that through his music. You know, it is a great way of getting a good joke across as well. Plus, the way it brings the audience in, music always interacts brilliantly with the audience. So you get the best of both worlds there, don't you?
Yeah, I believe so. I mean, Billy Connolly, I think the Humble Bums he was in, wasn't he, with Jerry
It
Rafferty?
was.
And I think it was, I mean, I heard Jerry Rafferty interviews some time ago, and he wasn't, he was being, he was remembering it fondly, but he said, when they asked him, you know, why it stopped with him and Billy Connolly, and he said, because I got sick of listening to Billy talk for half an hour and get laughs. I just wanted to play some music. That he was Billy Connolly, so was just getting more and more comedic, and it took over the show.
It took over completely. They did a little fallout them two for quite a bit, you know, but over certain things, you know. But I mean, they
But
were
they both
great together.
went their separate ways and were fantastically successful, weren't they?
Absolutely. And of course, let's say Jasper Carrot, you know, Jasper Carrot was the same, you know. He'd get his guitar out and he'd sing his joke. And that's, like I say, I think it's a great way of connecting with the audience, because obviously you get to know the song and you get to understand the comedy value of it as well.
Yes, yeah. I mean, there are actually, thinking about it, there are very few successful exponents of that in the pop and rock world. In fact, the few I can think of would be the guy. Oh God, I can't remember his name. I sang the Werewolves of London. What was that guy called?
Oh, I just played them as well.
Warren Zevon.
Yeah, that's it.
There
Because he
was
used
him.
it.
Yeah, there was him, and there was, and of course, the Bare Naked Ladies, so another masters of humor in music.
Absolutely, Bare Naked Ladies. Of course, you worked with the Bare Naked Ladies. What was that like working with the Bare Naked Ladies? That must
Yeah,
have been.
that name dropping. I was just dropping that in there.
Absolutely. Get on with it.
It was great fun. I mean, I've got another one with them. I'm touring with them. I say I'm touring with them. I'm obviously opening up in March, I think, of next year, if it happens.
That's
It's great fun. It's like being a rock musician. Only you don't get the fan. I don't get the fans. They do. But you get to travel on the big bus and stay in the posh hotels and.
and live the rock star. Do you live the rock star lifestyle? Or do you tidy your room up?
I tidy my room up, but I mean, one occasion or several occasions in America, I went around and they invited me to come to America with them, and it was so lovely. And we played venues like the Greek Street Theatre in Los Angeles and Red Rock in
Wow.
Nevada, and it was just, oh God, it was great. It was great. I could, I
What
should have.
a venue, Red Rock. Oh, wow. What was that like? That
That's
must have been amazing.
exactly how you imagine it would be. And then there's a tunnel up in Red Rock, which leads you to the stage from underneath, because all the dressing rooms and everything are underneath the seating. And there's a tunnel, like a zombie movie, that you walk through to get to the stage to come out into the theatre auditorium thing. And that tunnel is covered in graffiti from different bands. And there is every band in the world that you've ever heard of has they've written their names, from the Rolling Stones, the Beatles, to God knows who. They've all written their names on this wall.
Put your name on.
Of course I did, yeah. And I,
Good man.
yeah, just underneath Mick Jagger.
Why not? That's what I would do. I look for someone out there. I'll just put my name just there.
If you ever get to the tunnel, you'll see it says Keith Richards, Charlie Watts, Mick Jagger, and his friend Booth Bigraffo.
Absolutely brilliant. I would do the exact same, honestly. And I would be taking nowadays, of course, I'd be selfieing that. I'd be saying, look at that. I'm with Mick Jagger and all that. You're not a stranger to radio, though, are you? Because you used to have your own show, I believe, on Radio Lincolnshire, was it? I believe you had the Boothby Graffo live show.
Radio Lincolnshire. Oh God, yes, that was a long time ago. That was when it was
Wow.
Cat's Whiskers, Crystal Set.
Did you enjoy it? It must have been fun then, because that's when radio was great, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. I mean, I was very young and a little bit naive, but it was fantastically good fun. I mean, I look back at it now and realise when I remember it, I just should have shut up more. That was my problem. I talked to but it was great. I got to meet some brilliant people. I mean, at the time, because they let me do what I like, so I play records that I liked, and I used to have guests on who were, you know, at the time not so well known, some of them, and some of them very well known, and it was it was a lot of fun. The Jazz Butcher appeared on it a few times. I used to play his records, who's wow. died recently, and Gino Washington. It was amazing to talk to him. Steve Gibbons. That was an amazing experience. The Zootons, when no one had heard of them, we used to come on from time to time. And some really quite amazing people.
I mean, talking to Gino Washington, I mean, that must have been amazing. I would love to have talked to him.
He was a phenomenally nice guy and so interesting and self-effacing. Yeah, just so nice.
Yeah, I mean, the guy served in Japan and everything. I mean, people don't realize he was in the army. He was drafted into it and served. And I think he served in Japan and stuff like, you know, he was a Michigan boy born and bred. He come right out of that Motown sort of area in Detroit and Michigan. You know, amazing guy, great voice, great singer. But people don't really actually, if I'm right, he actually served in Japan.
Wow, I didn't know that.
If I'm right, he was drafted into the US Army. I mean, I'm pretty sure I'm 99% sure, because the guy is an amazing, what a voice and what a talented guy. And to have spent time with him, to chat with him, is just, I mean, that must have been brilliant.
Well, it was lovely. And I'll tell you how naive I was at the time, and, you know, full of my own self-importance and lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge was, when I was younger, lack of knowledge was never a problem. To me spouting my knowledge. And on one occasion, I interviewed P.J. O'Rourke, the American satirist who famously wrote Republican Party Reptile. And the trouble is, I didn't know what a Republican was or a Democrat. I thought he was left wing. Yeah, I hadn't got a clue who I was talking to until many years later, and I actually read the book properly and thought, "Oh Jesus!"
he's another character. I'd love to speak to. You know, there's some satirists he just want to speak to, and he is definitely one. I mean, some of the stuff he's done is just phenomenal.
Him from a book called Holidays in Hell, which was just a travel book he'd written about all the worst places in the world you could possibly spend a holiday, and he'd gone to them. And it was a fantastically funny book. And it was pretty much non-political. And it was only after I'd interviewed him, thinking he was some left-wing hero, I found out he was obviously, you know, a right-wing writer.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, but he does come across, you would, if you, you know, you think, well, this guy's straight to the left, you know, and then when you actually listen to what he's talking about, you're like, oh, maybe not quite as left as I thought. Definitely not. You couldn't get any further to the right if you possibly tried. But I'm still an interesting character.
Yeah, he was. He was another nice guy. Seemed very nice guy.
And of course, you were on. Yeah, you're regular on Loose Ends as well. Where is it, Ned Sheeran?
Yes, Ned Sheeran. Did love him. He's such a lovely man.
He was. I agree.
Yeah. I mean, Ned, thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. We are going to the bar. The drinks are on me.
Yeah. Did he ever actually buy the drinks?
The first round is on me.
And absolutely.
No matter what you asked for. I mean, taking into account it was probably about 10:30 on a Saturday morning or 11 o'clock or something on a Saturday morning. And then he would, if you want, where you went to, you, soft drinks were not an option. If you asked for a gin and tonic or something like that, it would always be a triple. He would come back with.
It's going to be a long night then, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, he was. He was another very self-effacing man. He always talked to other people, but they never talked about all the stuff he'd done in the past. You know.
Got to talk about. We've got to talk about Sellotape, because obviously you know all about Sellotape, because if I'm right, and opportunity knocks, you just said it to, well, wrap it around your head.
Oh yeah. Oh, that explains why I've got very little hair.
I was going to say, I mean, it was literally all around your head. How did you get it off? And it must have been terribly painful.
Yeah, there was a lot of hair on the sellotape afterwards.
What was the thinking behind that? Was that just one of them random moments? You know, I think I'll just wrap some tail tape around my head. This will definitely get a laugh.
I saw a guy doing it on the street in Holland. There was a guy who used to put sellotape on his face in Holland to squish his face up.
And really?
Thought, yeah, he was like a street entertainer. I can't remember his name. He's dead now, I think. And he used to just tape his face. He just taped his face, and I thought it would probably be more fun if you put it right round your face. I got into trouble at the time, I remember.
I'm not surprised. I also want to talk about, there's something that caught me, was you obviously write, you've written stage plays, you know.
Oh. A completely unheard of playwright.
Yeah, but you did write one, I think, in 2004, 2005, I think, called Hitler Sells Tickets.
Yes, yes.
And that's an interesting one. Firstly, the name is, well, you know, they say it does exactly what it sells in a tin. I would say that would... Tell us a little bit about that.
It was about Mussolini.
Hitler Sells Tickets. It's about Mussolini.
It wasn't about Mussolini himself. It was about, I made up this guy who was a Mussolini lookalike. And after Mussolini had been captured and killed by his own people, it was the story of what happened to this guy afterwards, and what he did afterwards, how a lookalike is supposed to exist after the person that they look like has been murdered.
Wow.
And it was, yeah, that was about, it was just a, that was, yeah. But they did it, actually, funny enough, they put it on Radio 4, Omid playing the main two characters. He played Mussolini and the lookalike.
I mean, it's a great name, isn't it? And it's a great idea. I mean, it's also, you're touching on some quite serious historical moments as well, and some historical people, but the name itself, Hitler Sells Tickets. I mean, yeah.
Radio 4 wouldn't let me call it that.
That's what I was going to say. They wouldn't have allowed that.
No, they changed it to being Mussolini, but...
I don't know if that's any better.
But it was just a joke on the idea. Well, you know, obviously you've been to the Edinburgh Festival. There was a period of time when there were so many shows about Hitler.
And you thought, well, do you know what? And you had, of course, One Night Stand, God and Adam.
That was at the Edinburgh Festival. That was,
yeah, that was received really well. That was a very, very popular show. And One Night Stand.
One Night Stand, I can't even remember what that was. What was that?
Oh, that was way back in 2000, again, Edinburgh Festival. You wrote basically it's about a guy having pretty much what it says, a one-night stand after a few too many. And that was way back in 2001, 2002.
Jesus, I don't even remember that. Was that me?
It was, yeah. It was just after you'd done the State of the Virgin, or is it the...
Condition
of the Virgin, that's it. Yeah, it was not long after that. It was, and it's really good. If you haven't seen it, it's brilliant. And I know you can get copies of it because up in Edinburgh. So if you haven't seen One Night Stand, I highly recommend it. It's absolutely brilliant. It's, you know, that was a, yeah, there are people doing it.
To be honest, Dennis, I don't think that was me.
I just remember it. I've got it. I'm just looking up now. One Night Stand, 2002, stage play written by Boothby Graffo. Filmed during the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, during 3 days at the Edinburgh Film Festival. There you go.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. You're given the credit for it, so just take it, because it's brilliant. Okay. One Night Stand is absolutely hilarious. How much trouble can one person get into in one night? Yeah. And you've done a bit of books as well.
What?
And did you anthology, sit-down comedy?
Short stories and that was Malcolm Hardy's.
Yeah, Malcolm Hardy, yeah, and John Fleming.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
You see, you must bring chicken to it, are you really?
No, oh, good God, no, no. I'm ancient. I'm absolutely ancient. Horrifying. Bits are dropping off me all the time.
I mean, we're so blessed to have you. I mean, you're coming to Milham. I mean, have you been before to Milham? I think you have, haven't you?
Yeah, I like Milham a lot. It's a lovely place, isn't it? I'm not sure anybody knows they're there.
It's a proper theatre. It's a proper northern theatre, isn't it?
Yeah. It's a really lovely atmosphere, and it's Milham itself. It's like Brigadoon. It only rises out of the mist once every 100 years, I think.
And what can we expect from you? What have you got anything new coming up? We're going to get something nice and new from you. What can we expect on the 3rd of November?
Well, I don't know. I got a new song, one new song, and I've got some old stuff, and I think you know, as it's on its audience, a lot of them, most of them won't have seen me before, so it's all new to them. It's going to be I'm the warm up guy. I speak not for myself, but for the one who comes after, and he is on belting form at the moment.
He is, absolutely. You know, it's going to be a cracking little evening. I'm really looking forward to it.
I can't recommend highly enough. I mean, if you look, some of the comments people make after the show, if you look on social media and stuff, they are, you know, people literally are crying with laughter from beginning to end. And I've seen people, I've snuck up on the top deck sometimes and looked down, and you can see people holding on to each other on occasions, trying to stay up on the chair. It's a very funny show.
Obviously, you did Umbrella Head Boy, and obviously you changed it, didn't you? I think you changed the name of that to What Italian? But people still ask, can you play that song? Play Umbrella Head Boy. Are we going to get that?
Oh, God, no. I mean, the reason I changed it to What Italian was because when I first played the recording from the album, Forcione was on it, Antonio. And what makes the song is his multiple solos in it. And when I first played it to someone to listen to before it was released, there was a couple of people there, and one guy said, "Is that you playing the guitar in the instrumental bits?" And I said, "No." And the guy producing the record said, "It's an Italian." And the bloke said, "What Italian?" So I said, "Yes, exactly."
Brilliant. I like that. Oh, God. Because I actually thought it was you. I just assumed that was you playing that. If I'm honest, I didn't even think it was Antonio.
I'm doing this bit. I can't remember playing it.
Oh, it's brilliant.
That's me playing that bit and all this bit. All that stuff is Forcione.
That's absolutely amazing. And you got your guitar. I mean, I know it's cheeky, but what's the odds of you singing as a little song?
I can sing a quick song if you like.
I would absolutely love that.
I can do that. What, now? You want it now?
Yeah, go ahead. Tell us what you're going to sing. Ladies and gentlemen, we are blessed. Boothby is going to sing us a song, and this is a little taster. Take it away, Boothby.
Okay. My postman brings me junk mail. He comes round every day. He puts it through the letterbox, then I throw it away. It goes to be recycled, they give it back to him. He puts it through the letterbox, I throw it in the bin. What's the point?
Oh my God, how true is that? Oh, Boothby, you're amazing, mate. Absolutely amazing.
Oh, you're so kind, Dennis. Thank you.
No, honestly, it's brilliant. And do you know what? I love that. I love that little. That's brilliant because, of course, that's one of the things that. Do you know when you get? I always want to do a show called "What Grinds My Gears," and that's the one thing that grinds my gears—the junk mail that comes through my door
Constantly, and they now have written on the envelopes, don't forget to recycle.
recycle the junk that's coming back. So, like you say, sorry, baby.
Oh no, but then they recycle it into more junk mail, and that's all it is.
It's brilliant, isn't it? You know, it's just send it through my door. I bin it, and they put it back through my door. I think I actually believe I've seen the end of it when I put it in the bin. But no, I know that in a couple of months' time, that very same advert for that political party is coming back through my door.
Well, I remember Omid's television show. He had a routine. It was a fabulous routine about recycling, and it was when they had the advert, which I think was voiceovered by Eddie Izzard, and it said, "You know, recycle that can and help save the planet, because we could recycle that can and make it into a car or an airplane." And Ahmed said, "What, you know, what part of the planet are we helping exactly? And we by turning a can into a car or an
Or an
airplane."
airplane.
Yeah, because that's
Oh.
what's happened on the COP. There's the Glasgow conference, isn't it?
That's right. Yeah, that's just coming up. Yeah. That...
Prime Minister saying we need to address climate change by stopping using out, you know, unsustainable models of transport. I mean, he literally didn't travel on a train 4.5 hours. He literally took his own personal jumbo jet and
Saving the planet.
to save the planet. And they're all there. They all flew in from all over the world. He flew in from bloody London on a jumbo jet with about eight of them on it for a jolly. And then they all around the conference centre are all these chauffeur-driven limousines waiting for the delegates inside, all sitting there with their engines running.
And not just that, it's the jet that, of course, that famously, during a time when we're struggling for money,
Yeah, a million quid.
he decided to have his own private little 747 flying about. You know, it's crazy, isn't it? You know, and this right now in Glasgow is just crazy. It's all mental because it's just a space. It's a bevy, isn't it? It's just a...
Jack on the tail. It cost him £1 million just to put the Union Jack on the tail to paint it.
It's just madness, isn't it? And we're trying to save money, and he's telling everyone else, you know, these are tough times while he's flying about in his 747 and going to Glasgow for a jolly, for a bevy.
This is what my wife tells me off. She says, you know, you're not getting it. You don't get it. It's basically they're just sticking their finger up at you. That's what they're doing. It's not an accidental. It's not ironic. It's not anything. It's purely to anger people. It's done purely to anger because angry people are easier to control.
It is, you know, and it's the way it's done in our faces every single day, and they're literally mocking us to our faces, but
Yeah.
people still keep putting them back.
Yes, because well, that's it. Because the thing is, if you anger, if you will by behaving like that, you will anger certain people. The people you will anger are your enemies, your opponents who must be dealt with. And if they are angry and vocally very angry, then they are identifiable, and they can be put into that group so you know who your opponents are. And that's all it is. It's crowd control. They just identify the people against them by their anger, and then they can deal with them and carry on doing what they're doing. Did you see what
Crazy.
Elon Musk did said today? He's going to donate $6 billion into ending world hunger. Which, but the other day he made in one day $36 billion in one day,
You
and
know,
he's
and he's gonna.
going to put a sixth of that into ending world hunger, just a sixth.
And you know what? That'll be. He'll be a hero. He'll feel like he's done something. He'll come off after saying that. He'll sit down and he'll enjoy a wee whiskey, and he'll look across the world and say, "Look what I've done for this planet." While his Halifax bank app continuously rings to let him know he's still making money as he's talking.
Do you think he has a Halifax Building Society
account? You never know. Whatever app he's on, he'll be sitting looking at his little app, and it'll just be going ka-ching, 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 ka-ching. And he'll be saying, I've done something for the planet here. Look how kind I am. All these multi-billionaires who say they do something for the planet, and they'll give away, like I say, a couple of billion here, as he's making a couple of billion per second. In fact, he's making money while he's saying it. How mad is that?
I just imagine somebody being in Hartlepool and regularly coming across Elon Musk at the queue for the Halifax Building Society.
Oh, it makes it happen. Imagine him at the queue there, having to wait. In fact, he'd be standing in the queue clapping his hands saying, do you know, guys, while I'm standing in his queue in Halifax, I'm making money.
Yeah. God.
I'm going to donate so much money. Unbelievable. I mean, there's some great stuff. I tell you, there's some great jokes about Boris and all that just now. And I heard an absolute kind of sarcastic little one that I'd heard yesterday. And it was, what's the difference between a point and a distribution whose value is much higher than the rest and Boris Johnson? One is an outlier to the right, the other is an outright liar. I thought that was terrible. And Boris Johnson's favourite TV show, of course, is Deal or No Deal.
Yeah. Oh, I haven't ready.
Oh, that's some shockers. You know, that's it. I mean, joke telling is not my thing. I'll leave that to proper comedians. You know. My idea of a joke is usually waking up in the morning thinking I've done something overnight that I've achieved some kind of just by breathing. I'm a great guy. I've done something. I've woke up. And then I see the kids, and the kids are looking at me going, you know what? Your idea of intelligence is sitting at the top of the stairs and thinking you're on the chase.
Have you been on the chase?
No, God, I'd be terrible. Do you know what? I'd be terrible. I'm actually quite a bright guy. You know, I use regular high vis when I'm out at night, so I'm told I'm quite bright. So I think I'd be all right on the chase. I just don't think I could stand there and be patronised by a person at the top. I'd did infuriate me. They would be, I'd be getting, I'd be like, you know what? I know the answer to this, but don't rush me.
Yeah. Give me more time. It's not fair.
Yeah, just calm yourself down, guys. There's no rush here. Oh, you're on the clock. No. I'm on Dennis time here.
Yeah. Look, I'm just Googling it.
Do you know what? That's modern technology. I'm the guy that goes on. See, when there's a competition on the radio, I'm straight in there. Phone, computer, all the four computers lined up. I'm getting this. I'm getting these. You got to answer like 10 questions in 60 seconds and you win 500 quid. Yeah, I've got 10 computers lined up. I've got Google. I've got the kids. I'm promising the kids here. I'll say, listen, kids, you know, this is a chance to win some money here. We're on here. Well, I got Dennis Devon on the line. And your first question, I'm like, all right, here we go. By the time he's got to the third question, I've no idea what he said. So that was my profit. I thought, I'll make a million. I'll make millions of money doing that. But no, it doesn't work. Google doesn't give you the answer. So, of course, you are in Milham. We are so grateful to have you. Excuse me. We will catch you at the Beggars Theatre in Milham on the 3rd. Tragically, probably not, because I'm a poor man. I'm a volunteer radio guy. I'm a poor guy. And I live at the other... I live in Callao, which is... I don't know how... You know, the geographics of getting to Milham, it's an absolute nightmare. And getting tickets is just not really possible for me right now. So I just...
Oh, shame.
But I will no doubt be given the full lowdown, because Jax is amazing. I've no doubt. I mean, of course, you know Jackie, don't you? You know Jax as well at the Beggars Theatre.
She's a lovely woman.
And does an amazing job there. Fantastic job, you know. And I know I'm just looking forward to catching her. And she'll be listening. She was listening on Saturday, so when this goes out, I've no doubt she'll listen as well again. I know she's looking forward to welcoming you all back.
I'm looking forward to going. I'm very much looking forward to it.
I believe she likes a wee drink. And she and dancing as well, of course. Omid's a keen dancer. And I was shocked to find this out, that these two like to shake it about and do a little bit of dancing. What about yourself?
About it. Me, no, I'm a wallflower.
I'm that guy that everyone talks about. You know the dad dance? I'm the dad dance. I do the dad dance, except I'm beyond, I'm hitting the age of 50, so the dad dance has moved upwards. It's been upgraded to the granddad dance now. It's just the same dance, but it gets a little bit slower, and usually there's releases of wind in between. But because I'm that age, that's acceptable now. These are acceptable noises that you make. You know, getting up off the chair. Now that I'm a certain age, when I was younger, I'd get up the chair, no problem. Now there are strange noises when I get off the sofa. Yeah. It takes a little bit of work. I have to move my hips. My hips make strange noises. And if I've been eating quite a... The missus made a nice meal and it's settled nicely and I get up, there's strange noises. And I have to explain to the children that these noises become natural as you get older.
Well, yes, when you get to my age, you can't hear the music for the noises that your joints make.
I think what I'll do is I'll record these and I'll send it to one of these electro punk guys and they'll turn it into a fantastic dance track and the young people will be dancing away to the sound of my bones. I just think that's the future of music.
That's my, is that a synthesizer? No, that's my knee.
That's it. That's the track song, the synthesizer or the knee. It's my hips. And then the sound of the ambulance 5 minutes later rushing me casually. And that's me just cutting the grass.
Yeah.
Well, look, it's been, I feel like I've just waffled on a little bit there, Buffy. It's been absolutely fantastic. I really, really cannot wait for everyone to catch you guys down there. And of course, are you on the whole tour with Omid?
Yes, yes. I think we're going to the year 3000 by the look of it. Yeah.
So you'll be in Lancaster as well.
Oh yes. Oh yes.
Ooh, that's going to be a big one. It's going to be amazing down there. You know,
we've got Milham, then Lancaster, then is it Chester, then Crewe, or Crewe, then Chester? I can't remember which way it goes, but Lancaster, Milham, Chester, Crewe, I think.
It's a feral tour, isn't it? It is a big tour. You know, you're right kind of in the middle, aren't you? Kind of, it's not rolling yet. You're just literally in the middle, and a fair few have sold out as well. And then just let people know that Milham is almost that sellout as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think, you know, it's there's a lot of places that people haven't been able to get tickets. They've, you see it on social media when people say, you know, yeah, I'm coming. And then afterwards they say, I couldn't make it because I couldn't get tickets because you can't, you know, you've got to be careful because they do sell out.
Yeah, they're selling out fast, and of course, tickets are available for the 3rd at Milham, and you can contact 01229 775677 to have you sell a ticket. And then, of course, on the 4th in Lancaster at the Grand Theatre, you can contact 01524 646 95, and that'll get you tickets. And then, of course, Chester and Crewe, Loughborough, York, Dorking, Crawley, Guildford, Croydon, Chatham, Chichester, Portsmouth, Southend to end November. That is a very busy November for you.
Sorry, I interrupted you.
It's like you've certainly got some miles there, haven't you?
Yeah, there's a few miles, but it is all very green. We're on a tandem.
So what's the odds in maybe Boris landing near the private jet? And it's going to be lying about Glasgow. He'll probably get ticketed in Glasgow. I'm sure if he's flying about, he could give you a little lift here and there.
I bet he's a big fan.
I would like to think so. I'm sure him and Omid would... Do you know, I can imagine my Omid show. I could see him there and getting absolutely pelters. Well, look, have a great show and obviously travel safely. The weather has been horrendous. I don't know it's been like for you guys, but it's been touch-and-go floods up here in Cumbria. You know, it's a regular problem in Cumbria with the weather. Places like Kendal, Keswick and stuff like that have had some serious problems and stuff.
Yeah,
so,
a lot of flooding, hasn't it?
There has, yeah, and I know people are keen to mention that all roads are open, they're all bang. I say, Cumbrians are a hard breed, you know, they are, because they're a real tough bunch of people, and it's in the past 10, 15 years they've been flooded out, they just get together. These little communities, these little villages, these little towns, they all just pull together to help each other, you know, a strong bunch, and you'll certainly get a great audience at Milham and Lancaster as well.
Oh, great.
Well, look, have a great show. Thank you for coming on and waffling with me. I do waffle.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
No, I'm looking forward to it, and have a great show. And we will catch you again at some point, hopefully back Bisbee, thank you very much for coming to Dennis Devlin's show, and have a great evening.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye, mate. Bye.
Oh, thank you very much. Bye-bye.
The Dennis Devlin Show. You can catch The Dennis Devlin Show on Lake District Radio every Saturday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m.
Join me as we travel through the decades and play you the biggest hits from the 60s,
the 70s, the 80s, the 90s and the noughties. That's The Dennis Devlin Show on Lake District Radio every Saturday from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. The Dennis Devlin Show. We play you
the best mix of music.
Second guessing all my intentions. Should know by the way I use my compression. that you got the answers to my confessions. It's like I'm powerful with a little bit of tender and emotional. No, 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 mess me up, yeah, but no one does it better. There's nothing better. That's just the way you make me feel.
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 Uh-huh. So good, so good, so good, so real. Uh-huh. That's just the way you make me feel.
That's just the way you make me feel.
That's just the way you make me feel.
You know I love you, so please don't stop it.
You got me right here in your jean pocket. Right now. Laying your body on a shag carpet. Oh, you know I love you, so please don't stop it. It's like I'm
just the way you make me feel.